Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger fuel centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointstc.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Welcome, everyone, to another episode of Kiwi Talks. My guest today is probably best known for his tenure at Rockstar. He worked on games such as GTA 5, Red Dead Redemption 2, GTA 6. He was an amazing environmental artist. I feel deeply connected to him because we have a similar surname. I'd like to welcome David O'Reilly.
Excellent. Hello. Thanks, Reese. Thanks for having me on. Yeah, I'd completely forgotten about the O'Reilly connection there. Yeah. You're O'Reilly, aren't you? Not an O'Reilly.
Yes.
But
yes.
We're the same clan.
Yeah. Apparently, like, it traces back to Irish roots, the name Riley.
Yep. Definitely. It's the Riley clan. So you're of the Riley clan. And mine's just still got the contraction of "of." So I'm of the Riley clan. And a lot of different spellings, but it's all the same. We've got common ancestors.
Yes, and my dad's British, and you're British, so...
Right.
So it probably links into it.
There you go. Yeah.
So the first question I wanted to ask is, when you first joined Rockstar, did you ever have imposter syndrome because of the caliber of skill that you were working with?
Completely, yeah. Yeah, of course, yeah. I think everyone does, but yeah, I definitely had it. Yeah, because I mean, how do you not? You know, you sort of turn up and you're like, oh my God, I'm working on GTA. You know, it's like, wow, it's amazing. You know, and it's like, I hope, you know, you sort of hope that you can sort of live up to expectations, and you know, you sort of seeing all this cool stuff getting done. And yeah, I remember, like, particularly the first week. And I was like, it's really quite stressed, you know, because like, you're not fully learned the ropes yet. And, you know, it's just like, oh my God, you know, is this going right? Is this good enough? And I remember like my lead was sort of, he sat next to me and he was like popping off. He said, you're right there, Dave. You look a bit perturbed. And I was like, well, yeah, I'm a bit like, is this any good? You know? And you know, he sort of comes over. He's like, yeah, man, that's just keep doing that, you know? Cool, carry on. So it was fine, you know, but yes, very much imposter syndrome. And that, you know, that fades after
how long
a while.
Did it take to fade?
How long did it take to fade? Probably a few months, I would say. Probably a few months. I do remember, like, maybe about, yeah, maybe a couple of months in, and one of my friends who'd come from Bizarre Creations up with me. There's several of us that came from Bizarre Creations and we got jobs at Rockstar at the same time, which is kind of nice.
Cool.
Yeah, it was good. Yeah, but I saw in his daily update what he was doing and I was like, oh man, that looks really good. Wow, that looks better than mine. Damn it. And I just remember going over to him saying, like, man, that looks really good. I'm going to look at all your stuff and you know, try and nail that. And you know, that was like, oh crap, he's doing better stuff than I am. But to be honest, I don't think he was. It was just, you know, you get a bit paranoid sometimes in those early stages. So it was all cool.
And you're probably trying to prove yourself at the same time. So
yeah, definitely. You feel like you've got to justify your, you know, presence there. If you're in any sort of doubt, you know, you feel that helps you get into it. You know, it's a good thing. Imposter syndrome is often a good thing because it propels you into it, you know, and it makes sure that you're you know, trying to do as best you can and, you know, do good stuff. So, yeah. And then eventually, you know, you settle into it and you, your confidence, you know, grows because, you know, your stuff is going down well. You know, I felt like Rockstar was pretty good. They were quite reassuring in many ways. At least I found that, you know, as a new person, I was getting quite a bit of feedback, like from the art director and my lead. And, you know, it was like stuff, that looks great. Yeah, yeah, I'm really liking that and stuff. So, yeah, I think that was good. And I think that might have been a conscious decision for newer people on their part. Because, like, generally at Rockstar, when you're doing your stuff, if you don't hear anything back, that's a good thing. You only hear anything if it's not quite going right. So, you know, I guess they were trying to, they were just shepherding in the new people with some encouragement and stuff. So,
which is good. Yeah. If you were a new person and you had a lead that was like a real hard ass and just fully intimidating, it would probably be a bit harder.
Yeah. I've never had that. I've never seen that either. Generally the games industry is not like that. In my experience anyway, it's very collaborative. It's not competitive. And, you know, generally I think anyone who rises to the sort of position of a lead or director, you know, they know how to sort of get good work out of people, you know, and it's usually with a carrot rather than a stick. So, you know, like denigrating people's work and saying it's not good enough doesn't help anybody.
No way. You know? Especially a creative person.
That's not the way to do it. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's for other industries, isn't it? You know, other more competitive industries.
Yeah, maybe if you're like selling stocks or something on Wall Street, you know, then.
Yeah.
But
yeah, completely different environment, isn't it? Completely different sort of person, environment. And yeah, yeah. Probably a very unhealthy environment, I imagine that.
Yeah, it would be. Because I saw that you mentioned on your YouTube, one of the first areas you worked on was like a cave in GTA 5.
I did do some
some
caves. Yeah. Well, I was quite keen on caves. You know, it's like, I don't know. I have this thing in a game. If I see a waterfall, particularly, I want to go and I want to see a cave behind that waterfall.
Right.
You know, it's a bit of a cliche, isn't it? You know, waterfall in the game and, ooh, there's a cave behind it. But, you know, I like that. I think that's great because you can put a little secret thing behind that. You know, it's something to discover. So if ever there was a waterfall, I'd really want to put a cave there. And I didn't always manage it, you know. So I was like, come on, we've got to get a cave in this bit. And then sometimes it was, you know, sort of poo-pooed a bit. But sometimes I could just often sneak caves in because one of the things, you know, one of the cool things was that, like, at least on GTA 5, more so, that you had a lot of freedom to sort of, you know, play around and do cool stuff that you thought would fit in. And so I took advantage of that. And, you know, whenever possible, I'd do a little sort of interesting feature or put a little cave in or something like that, you know. And there's not many caves in GTA 5. There are three, actually. Exactly three. Actually, there's a mine shaft which my friend did. That's behind a locked door. But there's three open caves in GTA 5. Yeah,
I didn't know
that's
that.
All
that's
I'll say about them.
I think I might have found one. I didn't know there was three. Okay. Yeah, that's good.
There's one massive one. There's one massive one on the east coast, and then there's two small ones, like little sort of off to the side ones. Yeah.
I suppose what
they're well known on. On the internet, there's people have done videos about them and stuff.
I'm sure, you know, fans going really, really in. I mean, they're dedicated to it, like, all their time.
Oh, nothing is undiscovered in GTA 5 by now, I don't think. Well, maybe there is. Who knows? There's a lot of stuff in there, isn't there? But
you wouldn't be able to really hide any Easter eggs, hoping that no one would find them, right? Because someone would find it.
No. Exactly, yeah, because it gets crawled over so much. The best that I found to do was to just do cool little interesting features that people can discover, you know, like little routes, bike routes, or little tunnel sort of route culverts and stuff, or caves, and just paths, interesting land features, you know. That was my Easter egg kind of method, I suppose. But yeah, you know, you can't like write your name in rock, you know, shapes. It's just like, it's not going to fly, that, you know, it's not going to happen.
Yeah, it's a bit vain as well, isn't it, if you were to do that?
Yeah, exactly. It's, well, I know that there were, well, yeah, I have to be careful what I say, I suppose, don't I? But you know, yes, people did try. And
we can't blame people, God. I guess.
No.
I mean, whenever there's a hard line, I think, with anything, people are always going to try and see how far they can push the line, you know.
Exactly. And
give an inch, take a mile.
It's inevitable. Yeah, well, people, you know, they want to put a stamp on it, and it's like an artist signing their work, isn't it, really? So, you know, yeah, it's cool. But being an artist on it, that's what you're doing all day. You know, you're putting your stamp on it.
Yeah.
All day as you make the landscape, which is, you know, that's the fantastic thing about environment art, isn't it? You know, whatever you do is like super visible. Everybody sees it. I mean, it's not got your name written on it, but it doesn't matter, does it? You know, your name's in the credits, and you know, you make all this stuff that people play on and run around on. So, my God, I mean, that's great.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
Did you know how the sausage was made in those games? Because even I would think, even though that you worked on it, you work almost siloed, and the scope is so large that you're kind of contained to these small areas. So even when you play the game, I suppose in the context of like GTA 5 and Red Dead Redemption 2, there'd still be heaps of stuff you didn't even know.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah, definitely, definitely. I mean, I think people are surprised on YouTube and stuff how little I know about GTA 5 and RDR2, you know. It's like, you know, they're surprised that I don't know this obscure bit of lore about characters or why this mission was designed with this and compared to the trailer that came out, and why was this different? And I'm like, well, I don't know. You know, it's like, it's you can't know it all. You know, as whatever your job is, that's what you're doing. You know, I mean, if you're an engine programmer, you know, you've probably got no idea about the landscape or the missions. Or if you're a mission scripter, you know, you'll have no idea about anything to do with physics or whatever. You know, you've got your discipline. So as an artist, generally, I had no idea about missions. I had no idea about, you know, the engine as such, except for what I need to use it for, you know. So, yeah, you operate within your area and you do your stuff. And I found that the only time I would get any knowledge about a mission is either if I go out of my way to play the game, which I rarely had time to do, I must admit. I mean, I was like, well, why would I do that? Yeah, exactly. You're not going to go out your way to do that. But I mean, the missions I worked on, then you get to know it because you'd be with a designer and you'd be, excuse me, you'd be back and forth. You know, maybe you'd be sat next to them for a bit, or you'd go and visit them and chat about it. And then you'd play the mission and you'd know all about it. But that's the only way that you would get knowledge of storyline, say, you know. So like, for instance, like GTA 6, you know, people are like, do you know the story? And you know, what's the deal with Jason and Lucia, blah blah blah. And I'm like, I have no idea, dude. I don't know, because you know, I worked on it for like, you know, like 5 years, but I have no idea about the storyline, other than that, like, I knew it had like two characters. And that was the extent of my knowledge. So, you know, I'm like, are you sure you worked on that game? But yeah, I just did terrain, man. You know?
And I suppose with even with GTA 6, you worked on stuff, but because of the iterative process of environmental art, well after you left, somebody could have come in and gone over the top of your art, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. And I'm sure they have done as well. Yeah. I'm hoping not too much.
Some of it's still there.
Yeah, that's one of the things I'll be like really keen to sort of see, you know, what's left, you know, or how has it been worked upon and how has it formed a foundation, you know, because that's good enough for me. If it's as long as it's not the whole area has been like scrapped or something, you know, that would be disappointing. But I doubt that. Yeah, it will. Yeah, it's iterative. So someone will undoubtedly, because, you know, it's even if it's just veg passes, you know. But, you know, they're always improving the tech as you go along throughout the project. So when you start at the beginning, like, the tools and tech you're working with are not as feature rich as when you finish, you know. And that was the same on GTA 5 and RDR2. You know, so new, like in GTA 5, we had no height-based blending, no POM shaders, parallax shaders and stuff. But right at the end, I was doing R&D on height maps for the parallax shaders and stuff. So, you know, new features come on. And I know we added POM shaders for the PC release, as I recall, which was a ways after initial release, you know. And same with RDR2, you know, we had much better blending techniques toward the end of it than when we started working on it, you know. And the same will be definitely true of GTA 6, you know. The tech will have come along massively, even since the 2 years I have been away there, you know. So, yeah, it will have changed. But I'm hoping it will have retained the essence and the foundation that I laid.
Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18+ in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointstc.
Yeah. That'd be great. Well, even so, I mean, you still get to go in like I would as a fan and pretty much knowing as much as we do, even though you worked on it, which is the cool thing, right?
Yeah, that is brilliant, because I feel like I'm getting, like, having the cake and eating it
yeah.
there, because... Yeah, because, I mean, the last Rockstar game that I could enjoy as a fan was GTA 4.
Ah, yes.
You know, and it's going back to that. And after that, I don't want to say spoiled, because that's not the right word. But, you know, it's the curse of the developer, isn't it? You know, you can't truly enjoy the game as a fan after having worked on it so long. It's just a fact, you know. So GTA 6... I'm a fan again, you know, after, 17 years, something like that.
Long time.
Or when did GTA 4 come out? I can't remember.
That was 2008, but I think it came out.
2008, yeah. Right,
and
okay.
And 5 was 2013, if I recall. Yeah.
Yeah, so 17 years, and I get to play it as a fan. It's cool, you know. I hope my name's in the credits, but... I don't know. I really don't know.
You
know, I'm hoping Rockstar, if you do watch this, can I
put his name in Rockstar?
Please remember me. Do you remember me? Yeah. I mean, it's a sad fact that, you know, if you're not at a company when it releases, a lot of companies won't put you in the credits. And
I think
I'd like to think that Rockstar would put me in, but we'll see. You know, I mean, it's up to them, isn't it? You know, I have no. You know, not inalienable right to have my name in the credits, but we'll
yeah, I think it comes down to the company and their stipulations on contracts, or how, because sometimes it has to be how long you've actually worked on the game, as opposed to being there at the end. But it's differs studio to studio.
Yeah, it's up to them at the end of the day. It's discretionary. So yeah.
I mean, it'd take them a minute to put your name in. They can put it in.
I know. I would. If I'm in, I'll probably be in the special thanks section, and I'd be happy with that. You know, I'm down with that if they want to do that.
Yeah, hopefully.
But, you know, I mean, at the end of the day, it's, you know, it's no big deal. You know, it will be what it'll be, won't it? And I'll still enjoy it. You know.
Yeah. Do the environmental artists get to work in tandem with the character artists much?
Never in my experience.
Wow.
It's not really the closest I ever came to that was some animation, some motion capture had been done for one of the Trevor scenes on GTA 5, and I had to match up the terrain. So something had gone wrong and I can't remember what it was, and the terrain had to be redone, and I had the job of matching the terrain up to what the characters had been doing, i.e. walking on the ground. So I had to match up the blooming terrain to all his motion capture feet, which is a nightmare. It was a complete nightmare because you just had to just get on with it and do it visually. It was just, and you know, you absolutely couldn't do motion capture again. So it was up to art to sort of match the terrain back up. And so that's kind of not really working with character artists really, but that's the closest I ever came.
Interesting. Yeah. Part of the reason why I bring it up is because I feel like specifically with Rockstar around about RDR 2 and even more so with GTA 6 is it's like the art is like stylized realism. But, and often there are games that I've played where the environment looks super realistic, but then once you go to a character, it moves into the uncanny valley because, and it can be quite jarring.
I know exactly what you mean.
Yeah, but I don't feel that's the case with Rockstar games, especially with Red Dead Redemption 2 and even more so with GTA 6. There's a stylization to both the environmental art and the character art.
Yeah, I've noticed it, and the games I've noticed this on most are Ubisoft games. And I don't know whether it might be something in the Snowdrop engine or something particularly. I think I've noticed it in the Snowdrop, but Assassin's Creed, it's Anvil engine, isn't it, as well? Assassin's Creed does it. And I think what it is that the characters are lit differently than the environment to some extent. Mm. When you look at it, the difference from what I can see is lighting. And it looks a bit like when you're on TV and there's a green screen.
Yeah.
And so you get that slight difference in the lighting. And if you look around the edges, there's a slight, it's almost like rim lighting, I think. But yeah, I don't fully understand why that is, because the characters are in the, you know, they're in the game world. So they're getting lit by the game. But there's some additional lighting on those characters in some way. And I don't know enough about character art to know what it is. But yeah, it's definitely a thing. And I think Ubisoft are the main offenders from what I've seen.
Yeah.
Naughty Ubisoft.
I've just always wondered why that is, because that was one of the things that stuck out to me with the GTA 6 trailer. I was like, this isn't Uncanny Valley in either one of them. There's like a stylization there, which must have been intentional, which you don't often see in a lot of realistic games. So I was just wondering if like you picked up on that as well, which it sounds like you had.
Mm.
Did you? Did you ever get any to interact at all with the Hauser brothers, or were they like mystical creatures you never heard of?
Well, I never interacted with them ever. I know that they would pop into the office every now and again, and you know, be like a little whisper. Oh, Dan's here, or Dan's coming, or Sam's coming. And there would be a bit of a sort of Eye of Sauron effect going on, because they'd probably come in to look at some part of the game, you know, and they'd be like, oh, this is a sandbug, bah! You know. And so there would be a sort of flurry of movement and it sort of, yeah, you kind of be aware of it. And I know my best friend who still works there, we used to go jogging most lunches. And I think, I don't know if it was Dan or Sam. It is Sam, isn't it?
I often forget which one's which, but I think Sam's left and Dan's there now.
Yeah, yes. Sam.
I lose.
Yeah, you think I'd know, wouldn't you?
They like blended.
But
to
no,
one
no. Exactly. Yeah. The Sam Dan came and he was going jogging. And so my buddy got somehow roped into going jogging with him, and he had a bit of an entourage as well. So there's this sort of gang of like about 12 or 14 people running, and my mate sort of running along with them as well. it all seemed a little bit sort of weird with all these hangers on, but I wasn't there. I don't know where I was that day. I narrowly missed jogging with Sam or Dan Hauser. It's my claim to fame. Maybe I should do a video on that.
Yeah. It's pretty much like jogging with the boss, right? The big, big boss of any company.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, I don't know. I've no knowledge of him. I don't know what he's like. It seemed all right from
the
public image. Yeah. I'd never heard anything sort of like, you know, I'd never heard that they were assholes or anything. Never heard any bad stuff. So
One of the things I really admire about you is obviously stepping away from Rockstar in the midst of GTA 6? Because I think some people would be caught up in the adrenaline of working on like the biggest IP, the biggest game ever, and then just wanting to stick it out to the end. But you acknowledged that you were burned out and that you needed to take some time off. How long did it take you to realize you were getting burned out and you wanted to step away? Was it like an instantaneous thing? Was it something that was building up over months?
Yeah, it's a slow creeping realization. I wasn't really burned out with like Rockstar. I was burned out with decades of sitting behind a desk, you know.
Which is fair enough.
I needed a change and a break, you know. Like I'd done that, you know. I've been sort of working since I was like 17 in various, many different things, you know. And I think, you know, maybe it was part of a midlife crisis or something, you know. But you know, I was like a fairly new parent, and you know, I was really tired, you know. And I knew, I felt that, like, you know, I needed a change. And that's your, you know, your subconscious's way of letting you know stuff, that, you know, you need a change. You need to change your scenery and do new things. Because it's difficult. I find it was really difficult to leave Rockstar, you know, because I wasn't there 12 years for no reason. You know, it's a good company to work for. You know, it's stable, which is a amazingly rare thing in the games industry these days. You know, I'd say if you work at Rockstar, you're in the most stable position in the games industry, I would say, by a long way. So, you know, there's a fear around leaving it for that reason, especially as a new parent. You know, you're like, you get all this sort of, you know, this sort of parental instinct, you know, about stability and, you know, bringing in the wages and stuff like that, you know. But at the same time, I realized gradually that, yeah, I think I just need a change, you know. I need to change the scenery. And, you know, after 12 years, I've had a really good run here. I think that's great. You know, I think I can leave feeling pretty good about that, you know, and on good terms. And, you know, because sometimes if you leave a job, or many people leave a job, and they're like, you know, thank God that's over. You know, I hated it.
Yeah.
And, you know, they're leaving almost on bad terms. But no, I was happy to leave on really good terms, you know, and leaving at the right time. And that it's a good thing, you know, because you're leaving for the right reasons. They're good. It's all positive. And, you're starting a new chapter. So, yeah, you know, that's the best you can expect, isn't it?
Yeah, but I suppose in that case, because you've been with the company for so long, there can be, I suppose, like a part of your identity gets attached to the company and the camaraderie you have, and it can be difficult to leave because of that reason.
No, I didn't have that. I wouldn't. My identity was never tied up
with
work.
Because some devs do have
that. I can see how that can happen. I'm pretty sort of settled in my own self, and I don't get sort of swayed by external entities, as it were, you know. So I had none of that. But I mean, it is a fine thing when someone asks, you know, what do you do? I work on games. Oh, what games have you worked on? And it used to be that I'd say something like Blur, and it'd be like, what, the band?
Yeah.
You know, like no, or even Lego. Some people are like, oh, they do games, do they? Oh, I don't know. But then you say GTA, and instantly everyone knows that, you know, and the cachet of, you know, working on that sort of stuff is great. You know, that's very satisfying. It's nice. It's a nice feeling. So, you know, that's the negative of not working at Rockstar anymore, isn't it? Because, you know, if I say now I work on a AR golf sim, you know, most people have got no idea of what it is, what it's for, what it does, you know, any details about it whatsoever, you know. So, but, you know, it's not a big deal. But yeah, it's pretty cool working at Rockstar for many reasons, you know, that everyone knows it. And it's a very popular thing, isn't it?
Well, yeah, I'd imagine if you were at a party and you're sitting in a circle, it would be like someone who says they're a cop. Yeah. You know, if you're sitting in a circle and someone says, oh, I'm a police officer, then everybody wants to talk to the police officer about stuff that they do for their job. Yeah. I'd imagine it would be the same thing if you worked on GTA 6. Everyone would just want to ask you about GTA 6 and nothing
great
else.
Parties, I mean, it's the talking point, isn't it? It's a point of interest. Everyone's interested in it. So it's a good opener for talking to people, really, in that situation. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I suppose it is good. It's a good way of breaking the ice, so to speak, if you're meeting someone new.
Yeah, possibly. Yeah, definitely. Yeah, it's that's what I've enjoyed. That, you know, it's I have to come up with new ways now to do that. I can't say rock star anymore.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you've got your YouTube channel now, so.
Well, I never tell people about
that. Why not?
You know,
it's so good.
No, because I think like YouTube is something that people should arrive at naturally, organically.
Yeah, good point.
I never, that's my rule. Like, my family don't know I have a YouTube channel. Like, my parents, not my mum and my brothers. No, because I don't tell them. My wife, of course, knows, obviously. But, you know, some of my friends know, but only because they found it on YouTube. And they're like, no way, you've got a YouTube channel, man. I didn't know that. You know, you kept that quiet, didn't you? But, yeah, because if you sort of give your channel to someone, say, oh, check it out, you know, they might subscribe. They might watch a bit, and then they're not really, because it's not their thing, is it? You know, you've got to find it naturally.
Mm. Yeah, it's actually a valid
and be
point.
Interested in it. Yeah.
Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18+ in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuel. Points TC.
That's my philosophy anyway.
So yeah. what is your plan with the YouTube channel? Do you have a plan, or is this winging it? Is that your plan, just winging it and see what happens?
Yeah, very much so. Yeah, I mean, I have no plan. It's the ultimate winging, because I'm amazed that I've actually even got a YouTube channel, frankly. I mean, I've never been a big YouTube user. Even though if you look on my channel, it says channel has been here since like 2011 or something, you know. But it's just that I had an account, and I used it a little bit for some yoga teaching, where I put some videos up for like examples and stuff. But I never had a channel, you know. So it's only like in the last sort of, 6 months that I've been getting stuck into YouTube, you know, and YouTube's been capturing me in YouTube black holes. And I'm like, oh no, stop it. It's getting me. But no, I have no plan, because it was just an offhand sort of idea that I thought, oh, I'll just record this, you know, see what it looks like. And then it went to commentary, and then it went to getting my face cam in there. And then I started enjoying the sort of relaxed, sort of wandery sort of nature of it all, and I thought, yeah, this is really cool, because it's really relaxing. I'm enjoying this. And so yeah, I just thought, yeah, it's a great excuse to play games, you know, guilt-free gaming, isn't it? It's brilliant. And I really like that, like, playing a lot of games the way I do, I don't play multiplayer. And so I think if there's a negative to that, is that it's a little bit lonely sometimes, I think, you know, because it's just me playing the game. You know, unless I'm playing with the wife, sometimes there's certain games we might want to play together. But a lot of the time I'll be just wandering around an open world, you know, and having a sort of audience along for the ride, so I can kind of talk and externalize my thoughts. That's cool. I really like that. You know, it's added a dimension to my gaming that feels really natural. And, you know, the fact that I can record that with hardly any editing, to be honest, you know, I'll just put it on my YouTube and people will watch it. You know, they seem to get value from it, which I love that. That's great. And then I can talk to them about it, and they can comment, and, you know, have a back and forth.
Yeah.
It seems really like it's almost too easy and too good to be true, because it's really enjoyable. I don't have to put a great deal of effort into it in the way I do it, because I like to keep it very natural. It's not heavily edited. I just want it to be a sort of natural vibe, like you're just sitting down with a buddy and playing a game, you know. And I'll continue doing that, really, you know, because it's fun. And as long as it's fun, I'll keep doing it. And if it gets a drag, I'll stop doing it, you know.
Yeah. So how do you decide which game to play, out of curiosity?
Oh, just any game that I want to play. Any game that you, I mean, I'm all about the environment.
Yeah, of course you
so
are.
It's always going to be, I mean, probably a modernish game, probably AAA, just because of the nature of the, you know, I love lush graphical environments.
Like realistic graphics?
Generally, yeah. I mean, realism could mean fantasy, you know, not as in, you know, like, I mean, I love Avatar, Frontiers of Pandora.
Yeah.
You know, it's fantasy, but it's, you know, it's portrayed in a realistic world, isn't it? It's high fidelity and stuff. So it's going to be any game like that, generally. I know, I mean, I've got Indiana Jones and I've got The Last of Us 2 on the go, which are sort of less open worldy, but still, you know, they're games that are great examples of environment art. So any game that I get infused at in terms of environment art is going to be one that I will gravitate toward. And, you know, I just enjoy sort of wandering around, really. And I don't really go in for, like, walkthroughs or playthroughs, although I am seeming to do that with those two, Indiana Jones and Last of Us, just because it's just how that's the best way to play it, isn't it, really? You know, you can't just wander around, can you? You've got to progress them. So I'm enjoying playing those as a playthrough. But RDR2, you know, I'm not playing the story. I'm just wandering across the map, you know. And then the nice thing is that there's a lot of that map that I don't remember, I've forgotten about, or even never seen, you know. And I'll stumble on something, I'm like, oh man, I remember that, you know. Just in my last one, you know, there was a big landslide feature near, I wasn't too far from Calame Ravine, somewhere like that. And I was like, oh man, I remember so-and-so putting that in on his daily update. There it is, in all its finished glory. You know, and last time I saw it was, you know, just a polygon mesh with no veg or anything. So I'm loving doing that, you know, just wandering around. So it's all games like that, basically, you know. Nice environment.
How do you do environments for games set in America when you live where you do? I've always wondered how artists are able to do that, because you have nothing to use as reference. I suppose you can look at videos and photos, but it doesn't actually beat the real thing.
Well, yeah. I mean, some of us, sadly not me, but some of the team went out on location to LA. And salt and sea, stuff like that. And, you know, obviously they take lots of reference photos. And, you know, I think that's the best way. If you can send as many as your artists to the location as possible, that's the gold, that, because you can, you know, you get the atmosphere of the place. You see the location and how it is, and what's the air like, you know, what does it feel like, and what's the land like to be on, and, you know, how does it all fit together, even traveling to and from it and being in it. That's gold dust, that is, from an artist's point of view. And it's really sad that, like, that is very rare nowadays. Companies, probably for money reasons, I suppose, but
yeah,
it just doesn't happen that much anymore. But, you know, I mean, I've done it a little bit, and I loved it. But on GTA, yeah, it was very much photo reference. And at the time, what you could get on Google Earth, I suppose, just for a point of view of looking at it, you know, not for, like, grabbing any images or anything, but, you know, just like seeing what the landscape's like. So, yeah, you do the best you can with reference that you've got if you've not been out there. Yeah,
yeah, I suppose, but because Rockstar has pretty much infinite money, they can afford to send artists out. And I know you've talked about how Rockstar is very big on everything having a sense of place, and I suppose going out there very much helps to make everything have a sense of place.
Yeah I mean, I think that had I joined a bit earlier, I would have been out there, you know, which is slightly annoying, because I started in 2011 and all of the rest of the team had been out there.
Wow.
Yeah, I think all. I think. I mean, they'd most of my buddies, they'd been there at least since GTA 3 or Vice City, something like that. So they'd been out like to New York and stuff, and for GTA 4. So they'd been all over New York and all sorts of stuff. And then they'd gone out to LA. And by the time I got there, I think I'd probably just missed that sort of phase, sadly. So, but there's plenty of knowledge in the art team of the areas that they were doing. So, you know, that came through.
Did they send people out for RDR 2 as well?
Not from our office, I don't think. San Diego, obviously.
Yeah.
They did a lot of that. They went out to the woods and the mountains and stuff, and so they provided a lot of reference there. And I was like, damn, I could have gone there. So I remember saying, when we were first going on to RDR 2, we were in a meeting with some of the directors and stuff, and I was like, I sort of jokingly sort of raised my hand, I'm free if you need anyone for reference trips. Can I come, please? But they never sent us, sadly. So
I wonder how they picked them. Wonder if you draw straws.
Yeah, well, it's usually your art director if he's got time,
of course.
Or the next on down. It's kind of very top down in that way. You know, the team leads will probably go as well. Maybe the lighting guys, maybe.
Because there would have been a different lead on every game, right? Like the lead on GTA 5 would have been different to RDR 2, which is different to GTA 6. I would assume.
Yes, a little bit. I think so. There were some shifts from GTA 5 to RDR 2 and on to GTA 6. Yeah, there were sort of some different people that came in on RDR 2. But, you know, it's a lot of the same faces are still around. Usually they're kind of either going sideways or they're taking on more of a sort of umbrella approach to it, looking at, you know, yeah, it's kind of difficult to follow, really, because you don't really get
so many people.
But yeah. But I mean, often you can sense it sometimes in the way development is sort of broken up into chunks and stuff. You know, you can see there was a definite different style from GTA 5 to RDR 2, for instance, you know, just in some of the way things are done. Sometimes you get people coming in who want a very definite ideas about how certain areas of tech should be done in art, for instance, you know. And so you think, oh, we're doing this now. Okay, different system. Yeah, fair enough. And, you know, it's just differences. Different people come in, don't they? And as time goes on, things change.
Yeah, well, that's the most costly part of development these days is the art. And as graphics get more and more, I suppose there's more fidelity. You require more and more artists, which I would imagine would maybe silo a person's role more, because then your role in the piece of the pie is smaller, and you're working on a smaller area.
Yeah, I've noticed there's a trajectory of specialization, definitely.
Yeah.
You know, it's very much, define something that you're good at, and then if you like that as well, then you can be pretty sure that you'll do more and more and more and more of that and get more and more specialized in that. So there'll be people who are just making boulders. There are people who are making flowers. There's people who are making trees, although they might make flowers too. But, you know, I know my buddy, he spent like months making lupins.
Just lupins?
Those little
That's
flowers
all he did.
Thing. Yeah, if you're looking, he was doing lupins for ages. You know, he was sick of lupins, tell you
I
that. By the end of
would
GTA 5, he's lupined out. But, you know, because he was just really refining those flowers. And if you look in, like, say, the north side of Vinewood Hills, there's loads of lupins.
Yeah.
You know, or Palito Bay's got, I think, quite a few lupins. But, yeah, he was lupin man. He's loving it. But he also did rivers and stuff as well. So, you know, he was, you know, very talented fellow. You know, and he was my lead on RDR 2 for rivers as well. So, you know, but it was also Lupin Man to me.
Yeah. There's something I wanted to ask. I spoke to Obi Vermeij, who was the technical director on the GTA trilogy and GTA 4.
Yeah, I watched that.
Yeah,
I've seen that.
And
that was good.
I wanted to get your opinion on something because he brought this up. And I'm interested for an artist's perspective on this, because he seems to think that GTA 6 will remain the most expensive game ever, and he thinks that GTA 7 will be cheaper because of AI. I'm curious for your views on AI and how art plays into it.
Yeah, oh, blimey, GTA 7, wow, that's, I've not projected my thoughts that far yet, I suppose. But, I mean, I think that, like, the benefit of AI is going to be, like, in sort of automating the tedious tasks.
Yeah.
You know, because I don't think we're anywhere near letting AI make, like, good terrain. You know, I mean, it might make you a broad first pass of something, but it's not going to get you down to player level quality without so much handholding that you might as well do it yourself, you know. I think that its power is probably going to be in the veg placement, stuff like that. What we spent a lot of time on was, like, say when if you're making a trail or a road or a track, and you've got to cut into the terrain to get that track in, and then you know I spent a lot of time just welding verts up along the edges of trails and tracks and stuff, and you know, I see that could be a good use of AI stitching terrain in. Although, to be honest, on RDR2, we had other systems to do that anyway. So we were already moving away from hand welding verts together into a more sort of projection approach, I suppose you could say. I don't really want to say exactly what we're doing. I probably shouldn't. But, you know, yeah. But, yeah, I mean, yeah, I think AI can have its uses, definitely, but it's got to be in automating the tedious tasks that take a long time that are not really skilled jobs, like welding verts, you know. As far as creation of, like, quality environment.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You know, I can't see AI. I don't know. I mean, I don't even know how it would do it. I mean, AI is very surprising, isn't it, in what it can do?
It is pretty powerful, but it also depends on the prompt that you make it do.
Yeah. Well, the thing I've noticed, like, you know, I've used ChatGPT a lot, and I've, you know, just nothing to do with work, just like in side things that I've been doing, you know. And what I've noticed is that at first it's like, oh my God, that's amazing. This is like some human who's really clever is, you know, helping me. But the more you observe it, it's actually not that great. A lot of the time it will confidently come out with all this stuff and it's not right. Yeah. It's wrong. And unless you have a good knowledge of what you're asking it in the first place, you wouldn't know that. You know, there's been so many times where I'm asking it, like, how do I do this stuff in, you know, say Blender, you know, I'm like trying to find some obscure little thing in Blender or whatever it is, you know, or anything completely unrelated. And I'm like, that's not right. Mm. You know, you're telling me this. And like, and I'll say to him, that's not right. And he's like, oh yes, that's, you're right. Sorry about that. You know, and I'm like, this is not a reliable tool. You know, it has the appearance of being amazing, but it's not. And I think that's my worry in the world now, that everyone is running mad full pelt using AI for as much as they can, because their bosses are probably forcing them to. And a lot of it is crap and not right, you know. And unless you know, you don't know that it's not right. So, you know, it's a slightly worrying situation, but it does have its uses if we can just be a bit restrained with what we try and throw at it. And you can't replace people with it. You know, it's just, no.
Unfortunately, I don't trust humans to be restrained. We're not very good at that stuff.
Yeah, I know. That's it, isn't it? You give a human a stick and they'll hit something with it, won't they? It's just human nature. And, you know, we will use everything that's there, sadly. So I hope we can navigate that, you know. But as far as GTA 7, being cheaper than GTA 6. I don't know. God, I mean, I can't even imagine what GTA 7 looks like right now. You know,
it'd be like 15 years.
I mean, maybe
he's
right. So. I don't know. Yeah, exactly. The world would be completely different then. And so I can't even imagine, you know, I don't know.
Well, I couldn't even imagine what GTA 6 was going to be like after GTA 5. I was thinking, how are they going to top this? There's nothing they can do that can top this.
And
seeing the trailers, I'm like, I think they may have topped this.
I know. Weren't they good? I was really excited. I can't wait to play it. I really can't. I'm really infused. And I know I'm in a very fortunate position that, you know, I know a lot of stuff that's in there and it's really exciting and I can't wait to see it, you know, and I can't wait for the next trailer too. And just all that stuff that I had no idea about, you know, the characterization and seeing that city all fleshed out so much more than when I'd last sort of wandered it. You know, it's obviously, you know, it's when you're making a trailer, you know, it's funny. It's like, you know, they look at where the camera's going to be and everywhere in that view is getting madly polished, whereas everything that's not in that view is not getting madly polished yet. So, you know, the whole world doesn't look like that. You know, you focus on the areas of the trailer. And that's like, you know, the projection of what the entire full game is going to be like, which is why you get differences in trailers in the final game. Because, you know, you can't view that as, right, that's locked down now. And that's how the final game is. And that tree will be there when it releases. You know, you can't look at it like that because you're asking a company to show you the final game in a trailer when it's not finished. You know, so it's unreasonable to pick at differences from a trailer to the final product like so many people do, like with GTA 5 and RDR2, and they do comparisons and all that sort of stuff. And it's like, relax, dude, relax. It's a trailer. It's not finished. But this is, you know, this is a polished sort of in progress version. So, you know, it's a difficult thing to get trailers right, I think.
Well, I think also...
I think they did a good job.
I think game trailers are different to film trailers, right? I think the goal is with a game trailer is very different to a film trailer. I think with a game trailer, you're just trying to... Depending on whether it's a cinematic trailer or a gameplay trailer as well, you're trying to present something different. You're trying to just give the audience a sense of what they'll be playing, as opposed to a film where it's like, this is what the story is, this is what you'll be seeing. It's just a completely different medium.
Yeah, very much. And I think that, if I'm right, I mean, when you get a film trailer, like, the film's pretty much, like, it's all filmed, it's all mostly done. There's only editing to do, you know, and maybe there's a lot of editing, maybe there's not that much editing yet to do, but that's the final stuff. It's just a cut of what they've got on the, you know, in the cutting room.
Yeah.
Whereas a game, it's not finished yet. So they've got to run around and make it look finished for the trailer. So it's very different things. And I feel sorry for any games company that's getting hammered for, you know, it's different in the trailer. What are you doing? You know, and it's like, just relax. It's not finished. People should just relax. You know, it's like,
yeah.
But, you know, it's good. They're all keen on it, aren't they? You know? It's the same with many things, isn't it? Yeah. There's minorities can be very vocal, can't they? And sort of make it seem like everybody is annoyed or something.
But, yeah.
Mm. Yeah. It's good that they're interested, though.
Yep.
They care enough to do that, so you know you can't complain at that either.
No, well, it's better than like somebody not caring at all. I mean, the marketing department at Rockstar must have a blast making those trailers, knowing that it's going to get like 100 million views, and you know people are just going to go nuts over it. It must be a blast to work on.
It's a big deal when a trailer's coming out. It's a big deal. Everybody knows about it, and if there's a bug for a trailer focused thing, that is number one priority. You know, it's all hands on, like, this is a trailer bug. Okay. do that. And then it's, you know, when it's coming out, it's quite exciting because, you know, you're like, oh, the trailer's dropping. Or maybe often you don't even know, actually. And then it's like, oh, the trailer just dropped. Oh, okay, cool. You know, and then you sort of watch the excitement and stuff. And it's, yeah, it's cool. It's fun. It's interesting.
So when the Red Dead 2 trailers dropped, would you guys all huddle around like a big screen at the offices and like watch the trailer, or will you be watching social media as, you know, as all the views come in, the comments and everything?
Yeah, yeah. I'm sure I remember doing that. You know, one of the guys that have it on the screen, like, and so you'd like, oh, is that a trailer? Oh, cool, right, you know. So you'd stop by and sort of watch it. And, you know, often we'd do that quite a bit with games as well. You know, someone would be playing, like, you know, whatever latest release it was. I remember, the art director, he was playing Assassin's Creed Black Flag when that first came out. And they had it on this massive screen in the viewing room, which is just near my desk. And so people just kept drifting in. And by the end of it, there's about 30 of us in there. So playing Black Flag, you know, it's like just looking at what they're doing and how they're treating this and that. And, you know, like just sort of observing it and appreciating it. Exactly. I enjoyed that. I thought that was a good game.
Yeah, it's great. I think it's the best Assassin's Creed, you know, personally.
Yeah. I mean, the thing with Assassin's Creed games, like, I really like them, but most of them are not really Assassin's Creed, assassin games. You know, like Black Flag was a great pirate game. It's not an Assassin's Creed game. It's not an assassin game. It's a pirate game. Valhalla, great game, but great Viking simulator, not Assassin's Creed. And I suppose Origins, brilliant for ancient Egypt, lovely historical stuff, but not really that assassin-y, I suppose. More historical, and even Odyssey, you know, it's kind of it moved away from the original focus of assassin. And then with Shadows, they brought it back. That feels more like assassin sort of game, you know. And, you know, I don't know, did it get a lot of stick, those games? But I think they're great. I think they're really good.
And the pace they pumped them out as well. Yeah. I think.
I think
one of the great things about them is the settings as well, like the historical settings. Like, you could really, could do some real cool settings with that. Like, you could do an Assassin's Creed in India, for example.
Yeah.
Or China.
Yeah. It lends itself to anywhere, doesn't it? Yeah. I mean, I was disappointed that they discontinued the historical tour in Shadows. So, like, in Origins and Odyssey and in Valhalla, they had that mode that was, like, it was completely peaceful. It was right up my street. It did away with all the missions. There was no combat, no stabbing, nothing. But you could have historical tours. So you'd roam the landscape, and then you could sort of enter into this sort of mission thing. But it would take you through a historical event. Mm. Or in, like, say, Origins, it would take you through the Great Pyramid on a tour. And in Odyssey, it would take you on, like, you know, the battles of the, between Sparta and Athens and all the history of it. And it was a side, you could purchase it separately, I think, for about 10 quid. And it was quite like a sort of sidestep from the main game. And I, you know, I could put my son on it, like, you know, at the time, whatever he was, 7 or 8, and let him roam around Egypt. And I know that there's no stabbing, there's no violence, there's no blood, there's nothing. He can just roam around. And I thought it was a shame that they'd discontinued that in Shadows. And I know they've got some historical stuff in there embedded into it, but it's still part of the main game, where you're just reading things and stuff. But, you know, I love historical mode. And it's something that, like, nearly, like, what games do that? You know, like, there's no games that are really using these environments to their potential. You know, it's always based on violence, basically, isn't it? You've got to go on this landscape and murder something, haven't you, or kill something, or blow something up. Yeah. That's the main thing, isn't it? Whereas, you know, there's so much more potential for games. You know, why can't we enjoy these environments without all that, you know? Or even just like Ubisoft did, just do a mode, you know, another mode that's like that, if you want. people are not going to like that, are they? They're not going to agree with me.
That's right. that's the beauty of opinions. Talking about. You know, it will be different.
Yeah, exactly. I'm a big fan of options. You know, options. Yeah. Options for everybody. Yep.
I have a few questions from my followers. I know some of them you've already looked at in advance. So maybe you can answer these.
I checked those out, yes.
So we'll see if you can answer them. Obviously, if you can't, just say no comment.
Of course.
Cool. All right. So I've got one here from Tyan Peters 3170. How incredible does an artist portfolio have to be to get hired by Rockstar?
I love YouTube names. They just roll off the tongue.
Yeah, yeah. It's so easy to say, you know.
Yeah, interesting question. In some ways, people have a sort of, I don't know, it's quite mythologized, isn't it, working at Rockstar?
Yeah,
you know,
it is.
It's like, I mean, the wording of that, you know, how incredible does it have to be? It just has to be good for the position you're applying to and the game. You know, I mean, it depends on how tailored you want to do your applying process, you know. And I guess it's a good idea to be fairly specific. If you're going to apply to Rockstar particularly, and let's say you're applying for environment art, then, you know, you want to have a strong focus on environment art in your portfolio. You know, you want to look at the game. You know, obviously you probably know the game. So, you know, you look at the sort of stuff that they do and have some really cool environments on your portfolio, you know, focus it toward that. Probably if I was applying for environment art at Rockstar, I would have some architecture stuff, maybe an interior or two, although that's a separate discipline, interiors. So you'd probably have something like that, but maybe not focus on it. Depending on what you want to do, you know, maybe if you want to do landscape stuff like I did, then your focus is on doing natural landscapes, you know, but with some architecture thrown in to show that you can, you know, work outside that as well. I mean, you don't need character stuff, obviously. You know, it's completely, you know, you're not going to be doing character art if you're applying for a landscape art, you know, environment art position. It's a completely separate discipline. So there's no point focusing on that. But if that's your interest, then you probably want to be applying for a character artist, don't you? So, you know, you just follow your interest and what you want to do. And then that's the sort of job you're going to be wanting to apply for, isn't it? So, yeah, I mean, I'd say incredible. It just has to be good. Just do it as best you can and look at the games and look at the quality of the game. And I know you won't have the tech at your disposal to do that, but you can get pretty close with stuff like Unreal, even Unity, you know. You know, if you know your Unreal stuff, you can make something that looks blooming good, you know, and it doesn't have to be an open world. It just has to be, I don't know, a rock face, a ravine, a foresty bit, you know, a little river or, you know, stuff like that. Just has to be as good as you can do it.
I am surprised because a lot of the environmental artists that I've previously spoken to on GTA 5, they have their stuff on ArtStation, but you don't have anything from your Rockstar days on ArtStation.
No. I think I have an ArtStation.
You do, because I've seen
it. I don't use it.
But it's like, it's all your cool traditional sculpture art, right?
Right, yeah. See, I can't even remember what I've got on ArtStation. It's been that long since I looked at it. But yeah, I mean, I just don't put it out there because I don't like being so specific about what I did, because I don't know. I feel like with me having the YouTube channel and, you know, sort of basically advertising that I worked on these games, but I don't know. I don't know how Rockstar would feel about me getting very specific about, hey, I did this rock bit, I did this rod. I mean, I know I've skirted that in some of my videos and I've pulled back because I don't know. I feel like I don't really like doing it because there's so much stuff that people have worked on around that. You know, I don't want to be stepping on people's toes.
That's fair
and
enough.
Claiming landscape for my own when you know, let's face it, without the shader programmers, without the lighting, without the veg, you know, my stuff doesn't look anywhere near as good, does it? You know, there's so many hands are in all this sort of stuff. And to lay claim too much to what you've done in a game, I think it's just a little bit, you know, you're doing a disservice to all the other people that have worked around that, you know. So I kind of try to be as vague as possible, yeah. really, whilst also, you know, I mean, you've got to, you know, how am I trying to phrase it really? You know, I like to say, you know, this is an area I've worked on.
Yeah.
You know,
but I think you make a very stuff, valid point though. Something that I actually didn't consider as to why you wouldn't want to upload it to ArtStation. And I suppose because you have such a diverse skill set and obviously you're a traditional artist as well. You probably don't want to just be synonymous with that one thing.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, to be honest, you know, I don't feel the need to. I don't feel like I've got anything to prove, to be honest.
Well,
so,
no, you
know,
don't.
I'm not really that bothered, you know, and it's like, I'm not interested in working in AAA anymore. You know, I'm not really that interested in working in games anymore. You know, I feel like I've done that and it's too unstable.
Especially
you
now.
Know?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I left the most secure job in the games industry, frankly, you know, and I'm not about to jump in bed with another company only to turn around in like, you know, a few months and the project's cancelled. So, you know, that's why I sidestepped to the simulation space because it's far more stable. You know, it's a completely different niche. And it's, yeah, it's not the games industry, you know, it's a separate niche with its own demographic, which are much more stable. So, yeah, so I that's why I don't have any of my game stuff online.
Makes sense.
There's not really need, you know. And plus, you know, I can wander around those environments and talk about them if I want to.
Yeah. The YouTube format is probably better, I think. For the type of personality you are as well, I think it suits you more than just chucking something on ArtStation.
Thank you.
Now that I think about it. Yeah. Cool. All right.
Yeah.
Next question. This person's asked three questions, but I'm only going to ask one because I do want to let you go.
Oh.
Okay. So this is from square-man6028. What is the most challenging part of the process when creating environments?
Good question. Challenging part of making environments. Challenging. Well, it's funny because... I mean, I don't want this to come out wrong, but I never found it challenging.
Really?
Because, yeah, I don't know. I mean, because it's what I do. It's what I've always done. You know, I know the natural world. I know landscapes. I've spent my life walking in the mountains and outdoors. And, you know, I know it all. I know how the world is. And so I don't have too much difficulty in making those things, you know, especially if you've got pre-made templates as well that you can munge around and mix and match and create from. You know, probably the hardest part for me was the tech. You know, if you're like working with tools that can be unstable sometimes, you know, that's the challenging part because you can lose work that way. And having to redo work is you know, that's challenging. That's just annoying, you know. So for me personally, it's working with the tech is the most challenging thing.
Yeah.
The art itself is, that's fine. You know, like once I'd got up to speed on the way things are done at Rockstar, then I was in my element, you know, I know exactly what I'm doing. So yeah, you know, as long as you've got a clear idea of what the aim is for what you're making, what's the vibe of that area? Is there any missions? You know, do we have anything to bear in mind? And other than that, it was usually, man, just own it, you know, make it look cool and fun. And so I'm like, yep, excellent, do it, you know, and off I go. So
job well done.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah.
Cool. All right. Final question. You've kind of touched on this on a surface level, I think, but this is from JI-GG5XZ. How much freedom are you allowed when creating the games, or does everything have to be exactly how the boss says?
Well, that depends on, well, firstly, it would depend on the nature of the game, I suppose. So I can only talk to my experience. But generally, a lot, but GTA 5 and RDR2 and 6 as well, GTA 6, yeah, there's a lot of freedom, a lot of freedom. Probably more on GTA 5, slightly less on RDR2, and slightly less on GTA 6. You can see the trajectory, can't you? But even so, a lot, like GTA 5, I was quite surprised because it was like, yeah, just own it, make it look cool. And that was it, and I could do pretty much anything I wanted, so long as it fits in with the vibe of the area. I can't go making like a massive mountain that doesn't fit anywhere. It's like, generally, I spent a lot of time on the north side of Vinewood Hills, and so I had roads to consider, which were already there, like a top main road and a lower main road that was bordering Salton Sea. And so a lot of the time I would need to put a trail in that would connect them, but also fitting that in with what at the time was like first pass terrain. So the basic shapes were there, but they were like mega basic, super basic. So it was fleshing it out and, detailing it. So I had all the freedom in the world to do that. It's that's what I loved about it, because it wasn't micromanaged at all. It was you were they let your creative sort of abilities shine, which it was great because you could shine doing that, and I loved that. And on RDR2 again, it was just make it look cool. And I know in some mission areas there's less freedom because you've got to, there might be a mocap section, so you can't change that, and if it gets changed, it causes problems. But yeah, there's some areas that you can't really do much with, but other areas, yeah. Or there might be like this area, we've got to have this landmark here, we want this generally to be, a very prominent feature, so you have to work around that sort of structure. But even within that, you would have creative freedom to work that up how you thought best, So, yeah, I think that's it works best that way, because you're not hiring an artist for their ability to carry out your orders. You ideally want that artist to bring their creativity to it. Otherwise, what's the point? That's what Rockstar are pretty good at, is hiring people that are creative, and letting them be creative as well. So,
That is a good place to wrap up. Brilliant way to end it.
Cool.
David, this has been a
Awesome. Awesome, Reese.
absolutely huge, huge pleasure. Thank you so much for sparing me your time this
Yeah,
evening.
cool.
I've thoroughly enjoyed it. I don't know what it is about British people, but I seem to feel very connected to them when I speak to them, so.
Oh, very nice of you to say. Yeah, cool. Well, it's enjoyable. Yeah, I could go on and
Yeah, I
on.
could talk to you for hours easily. Even though you don't like to promote it, if people do want to watch your YouTube channel, where can they go?
Oh, just YouTube, Game World Art.
Game World Art.
Game World Art. And yeah, pop along. And yeah, it's not a technical place. It's just about chilling out, playing nice game environments, and hearing me waffle a lot about whatever comes to my mind. So yeah, it's people, I've been called the Bob Ross of gaming.
Yeah, I have heard that.
It's,
I don't know where that comes from,
yeah,
though.
so
I don't
I.
know if I agree with that.
Well, I think it's the relaxed tone, I think, because old Bob was he's pretty chilled out guy, wasn't he, to watch? So I take that as a compliment,
Well, you've got a an intoxicating positive energy about you, so
Oh, really? That's
yeah.
good.
So
I like that.
don't
I'm
ever,
gonna write that
yeah,
down.
write that down.
Yeah.
Don't ever lose it. That's all I'll say, because it's very nice.
Cool. Yeah. Well, yeah, that's it. It comes from the enjoying doing it. So
Yeah.
that's the most important part. Cool.
Cool.
Thank you,
No
Reese.
problem. All right, that is the show, everyone. Make sure you share, like, and subscribe. And until next time, stay safe.
Hey, wake up. New drinks just dropped at Wendy's. Cold foam, cold brew coffee, and sparkling energy. Both the caramel and the chocolate cold foam are just, ugh, so good. And the pineapple citrus and cherry limeade sparkling energy each have
80 to 120 milligrams, whew,
of added caffeine. So whether you need a treat first thing or to just stop yawning already, mornings hit different. To pick up a new pick-me-up, gotta be Wendy's. At participating U.S. Wendy's,